Let them be pacified.
Let them be pacified.
Yea, I am true.
Yea, I am true.
Let them consider.
Let them consider.
Bhutani.
Bhutani.
All the living entities.
All the living entities.
Shivam.
Shivam.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Nisaha.
Nisaha.
Ritual.
Ritual.
Dhyā.
Dhyā.
By their intelligence.
By their intelligence.
Manā.
Manā.
The mind.
The mind.
Chāra.
And.
Bhadram.
Bhadram.
Calmness. Bhajatat.
Bhajatat.
Let it experience.
Let it experience.
Adhokshaje.
Adhokshaje.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Godhead.
With beyond the perception of mind, intelligence, and senses. Avesvatam. Let it be absorbed.
Let it be absorbed.
Na.
Na.
Our.
Mati.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Api,
indeed.
Ahaitiki,
without any
motion. Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Please repeat. May there be good fortune throughout the universe.
May there be good fortune throughout the universe.
And may all envious persons be pacified.
May all envious persons be pacified.
May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga.
May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga.
For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence,
Lord Sri Krishna,
and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport, I should have probably thought. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vansha kalpa srubhya sra kripar srubhya evacha achitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavat Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Paramat Yamatsarinam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prayed in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas ca bhadram bhajatah adhokshate. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva to sit in our heart. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimho, Vidaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadeva sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become calm, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure, nishkam devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram, patita maam tashame bhavam hujau. Kripaya tabapada pankaja iti purisa dresham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, but somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhaktir Ahaitisi Prayi. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your Lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasti Astu Vishvasya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is a man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature. by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kalat proceeded on. The difficulty is that the Kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of Kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra shadi vasha sarva kalakena vivayate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Diya. In material activity, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajitad Adhokshaja. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarvayamana Krishna Padara Vindaya, and as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, 1865, Manmana Bhava Madhvakta, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed, Chaitodarpana Marjana. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be alright. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated, because everyone would go back home back to Godhead. However, Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible, because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Translation again. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of him. Srila Prabhupada has quoted this verse in the purport who can divert the scribe of Vaishnava and Prahlad Maharaj, who spoke the prayer that we are reading and discussing, is an excellent example of a Vaishnava. You know the history that Hiranyakashipu was the father of Prahlad, was a great demon, and he performed such severe austerities that the entire universe became disturbed. And ultimately Lord Brahma personally came to Hiranyakashipu to ask him what benediction he wanted so that he would cease his austerities and stop the disturbance within the universe. Hiranyakashipu asked for the benediction to become immortal, but Lord Brahma replied that I myself am not immortal. So Hiranyakashipu asked for various benedictions that he thought would ultimately make him immortal. He asked that he not be killed in the day or at night. He asked that he not be killed inside a building or outside. He prayed that he not be killed on the land, in the water, or in the sky. He prayed that he not be killed by any demigod or animal or creature. He asked for so many benedictions that he thought would ultimately make him immortal. He prayed that he not be killed by any weapons. And Lord Brahma agreed to all of the requests. He said, so be it. Now, Hiranyakashipu, in due course, had a son named Prahlad. And Prahlad was a devotee. Earlier, the Lord, in the form of Varahadeva, had killed Hiranyakashipu's older brother, Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu was determined to avenge his brother's death. And he thought that he could kill Vishnu. He knew that Vishnu was the one who had appeared as Varaha and killed Hiranyaksha. As you know, the story relates to the chapter in the sixth canto that we're reading about Diti, who's the mother of both Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and how after Hiranyakashipu was also killed, she wanted a son who would kill Indra. She thought that Indra was responsible for the death of her sons with the help of Vishnu. When someone performs great austerity, he can get great power. And even demons, if they perform the required austerity, can become very powerful and attain mystic perfections. So we know from scripture, Sahih Shastra Guru Vakya, we know that Vishnu is God. We think, how could anyone imagine that they could kill God? But if God came into the room, and if we didn't recognize him by the features that are mentioned in the scripture, we wouldn't know that he was God, because God looks like a human being. The Bible says man is greater than the image of God. So God, he has hands and legs and eyes and ears and nose and mouth and all the different parts of the body that we have. The body looks just like we do. What distinguishes him from us is that he has immeasurable potency. Just like if the President of the United States, which of course we know what he looks like, he goes to read the newspaper and watch television, they know what he looks like. But otherwise he looks like a human being. He looks like a human being just like the rest of us. But he has immense power, more than some people would like. But anyway, he has immense power. And if he wants, you know, he can order and, you know, the army will invade the country, or, you know, the police will come and put you in jail. He looks like us, but we don't have that power. We might want to do it, but we don't have the power to do it. But he has the power. But still, he looks like one of us. So, even though Vishnu has great powers in terms of mystic ability, demons can also get power. And Hiranyakashipu proved that by his austerity and the power that he got and the benedictions he got from Lord Brahma, he would be immortal and he could conquer the universe. And thus he created a great disturbance in the universe. Not as he had done in the first instance, just by dint of his severe austerity, but by actively waging war against the demigods and conquering the planet. Now, Hiranyakashipu wanted his son to be like him, a great materialist. And he educated him, he had teachers to educate the boy to become an expert politician and materialist and so Hiranyakashipu naturally, although he was a demon, but he has affection for his son. And as parents sometimes do, they ask their son, you know, what did you learn in school today? What subject do you like? So Hiranyakashipu asked for love. What's the best thing you've learned in school? And he thought Prahlad would say, you know, something cute, something sweet. And Prahlad said, you know, he gave the worst answer imaginable to Hiranyakashipu. Because the best thing that I would learn is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Adhisevanam Aishanam Vandanam Dasyam Adhisevanam. The best thing I've learned is to hear about and glorify Vishnu. Vishnu, who is the deadly enemy of Hiranyakasipu. Vishnu. So, Hiranyakasipu became furious. And ultimately, he decided to kill Prahlada. He gave the example that if a part of your body becomes diseased, even though it's part of your body, but if it's diseased, you know, it's like if you have gangrene or something, the disease will spread throughout the body and kill you. So even though it's part of your body and you're attached to it, you have to cut it off. Otherwise the disease will spread and kill the entire body. He said, okay, he's my son, but he's been infected by the disease of Vaishnavism. And we have to cut him before the disease spread and finish it up. So he tried to kill Prahlada in so many ways, as described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And although he was so powerful, Hiranyakasipu was conquered over the demigods, he had subjugated the demigods that were serving him like menial servants, except for Brahma and Shiva, because all the other demigods were engaged in his service. He's so powerful. But he could not kill Prahlada. No matter what he did, he could not kill Prahlada. He tried to give him poison. He tried to throw him off a cliff, a mountain top. He had these demons with pitchforks, you know, horrible looking demons, try to kill him. Nothing worked. And he was surprised. Because he had been successful against, you know, the armies of the demigods. But he couldn't kill this 5-year-old boy. So finally, you know, after all these strenuous efforts, he asked Prahlada, from where do you get your power? I mean, I've been victorious over demigods, everyone. No one's been able to withstand my attack. Except for you. So where do you get your power from? And Prahlada replied, I get my power from the same place that you get yours. Now that really infuriated her. Because he thought he was the source of his own power. That's the demonic tendency. We think we're the doers. Aham karta. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. I'm the doer. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. That's the demonic tendency. So he didn't want to hear that Hiranyakasipu didn't want to hear that he got his power from someone else. And especially the person to whom Prahlada was referred. So Hiranyakasipu became even more infuriated and more defiant. So he said to Prahlada, oh,
Yeah.
Well, you know, where is this God of yours?
Well, I said, he's everywhere. And here in Yehoshua said,
oh, he's everywhere. Well, is he in this pillar?
The Lord said, yes.
Then Yehoshua was getting angrier and angrier. He said, oh, okay. Now I'm going to kill your God. And he took out his sword to slash the pillar. And out of the pillar emerged the wonderful form of the Trinity. And the Shingha was unique. He had a form that was half lion and half man. And he fulfilled all of the conditions of Lord Brahma. He wasn't a demigod or a human being or an animal. He wasn't any creature. And he picked up Hiranyakashipu and put him on his lap, and with his nails ripped apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu. Now, Hiranyakashipu, as I mentioned, was extraordinarily powerful. And his chest was like steel. Because no one could penetrate him. I mean, that's why he was so powerful. You could throw arrows and all sorts of weapons at him, but just bounce off like nothing. It wasn't a small thing to tear open his chest. But Hiranyakashipu couldn't resist the force of Vishnu. He tore open his chest with his long nail. And killed him. He took out his heart. Now we sing prayers to Krishna Day every day. One of the lines was quoted in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yatom Srinha Paratom Srinha Yato Yato Yami Tatom Srinha Vahil Nishinda Hridaye Nishinha Nishinha Majin Sanam Sukhati. Who knows the translation of the verse? Ito Nishimha means here is Nishimha, and Paratom Nishimha means Nishimha is dead. Yato Yato Yami Tato Nishimha. Wherever I go, there is Nishimha. Mahir Nishimha means Nishimha is in, oh, Nishimha is outside, and Vidaye Nishimha, Nishimha is in the heart. Wishing him a human child on the protective shelter of Lord Vishnu. So he's everywhere. And we also sing Shila Tamkana Kalaya. Does anyone know what that means? Shila means stone. Like we have Govardhan Shila. Shalagram Shila, the new stone. Shila Nakalaya. Naka means nail. Shila Tanka. Tanka means like chisel. Like if you want to break a hard stone, you have to like sort of keep beating at it. Your husband is the word chisel. So, Lord Nishinga's nails were like a chisel that ultimately broke
open. Hiranyakasipu's stone-like heart, chest, heart. So Hiranyakasipu thought that by his own power and his own intelligence, he could become immortal. But his intelligence was not as great as Vardashunadeva. Because Vardashunadeva kept all of Brahma's boons intact, and still he could assume this wonderful form of Dusha, this wonderful. He assumed this wonderful form that was half man and half lion. And he sat at the threshold of the palace. He wasn't inside or outside, but just on the threshold. He appeared at twilight. It was neither day nor night. And he killed Hiranyakashipu on his lap. Not in the sky, not on the water, not on the land, but on his lap. And not with any weapon, but by his nails. So he kept all the benedictions intact and still killed him. Srila Prabhupada explains that however intelligent we are, Krishna is always a little more intelligent than we are. Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna with ropes, but no matter how many ropes she tied together to bind him, he was always two fingers bigger. So it was just different. He was just a little short. So in the same way, if he tried to compete with God, or try to outwit God, try to cheat God, we will always fall short. Always fall short. Srila Prabhupada says, Hiranyakashipu was thinking only of the atomic bomb, how to protect himself from the atomic bomb, but he forgot about the nail. He made so many arrangements to protect himself, he forgot about the nail. So the conclusion is, you know, we can't fight and join it. Conclusion is, the Srimadhyam Sharanam Bhagavad surrender to the Srimadhyam. We try to compete with him and fight against him. So that's the background. Now after the Srimadhyam killed Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad to accept some benediction. And Prahlad didn't want any benediction, because Prahlad didn't appear to Loki. We find the word in the verse here, Kahaitiki, without any motive. He had no material motive. And in fact, when Lord Nisringadeva asked him to accept some benediction, Prahlad, yes, Prahlad refused it, and Nishima insisted. And Prahlad said, why are you trying to tempt me with material allurement? You know, I am your servant, and you are my master, and we have no other relationship. If I were to take something from you in exchange for my service, I wouldn't be a servant, I would be a businessman. I would be engaging in an exchange of. So, you should not do that. But the Srinivas did want Prahlad to accept some benediction. And in the end, Prahlad said, well, if you really want me to ask something from you, then I ask that you purify my father, that you liberate my father. And this showed the exemplary character of Prahlad, who Srila Prabhupada said is a typical Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is the friend of everyone. Suridam Sarvadevana is the friend of all living entities. He never becomes the enemy of his enemy. He always remains the friend of everyone, even of his enemy. So even though Hiranyakashipu was so envious, even of his own son, and tried to kill him in so many ways, Prahlad remained true to his character as a Vaishnava, wanted welfare, wanted for his father, who wished well of his father. And in this prayer to Lord Nishimadev, Prahlad is praying for his father and all envious persons, that they be pacified. Let all envious persons be pacified. And Srila Prabhupada notes that almost everyone is envious, because we come into the material world because we're envious of Krishna. That's why we're here. Prabhupada says almost everyone. The only exceptions are the true devotees. But everyone else has some envy, and that's why we're here. But saying almost everyone in the prison is a criminal. All the prisoners are criminals. But there are some staff members who aren't, but the prisoners are criminals. So other than the devotees who are working for the welfare of the fallen souls, everyone else is envious. That's why we're here. And no one is spared. When you tell people with envy of the father of son, Diti was envious of her nephew, Kunta. She wanted to kill her nephew, or get him killed. So no one is spared, unfortunately. But if we want to get out of the bondage of material existence, we have to become free from envy. And how do we become free from envy? That is the process of Krishna consciousness, and that is Prahlad's prayer here, Bhaja Tata Hoshite, Bhaja Worship. Worship, serve. The word bhakti comes from the root bhaja. Serve and worship at hopes of the Krishna who's beyond material sense perception. So then Yathashipu couldn't see Vishnu, couldn't see Vishnu beyond the sense perception. It was only when he chose to appear to Hiranyakashipu by emerging from the pillar, that Hiranyakashipu was able to see him. So no one, only the devotee can see Krishna, otherwise he's beyond the range of sense perception of the materially contaminated senseless mind and intelligence of the conditioned souls. So the process is Vajratava Kosaji, Krishna consciousness, and as Kalasa Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smile. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu and remembering him. Prabhupada quoted the line from the Shishastaka Chaitra Gautama Marjana, that Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, cleanses the heart. That's the process. And when the heart is cleansed, we become peaceful, bhadram. Srimad Bhagavatam, two very important verses in the second chapter of the first canto. Srimadatha Bhakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pridyam Tasku Hi Abhagrani Vidunoti Sarisata. Discuss that Srimadatha Bhakata Krishna. When we hear Krishna Kata, all the abhadrani, material desires, all the disturbances within the heart are cleansed by the Lord Himself, the sitting within the heart. We do know He serves the time. And he's the well-wisher of the truth for devotion. So the transcendental sound is itself Krishna. Krishna enters the ear in the form of transcendental sound. And when we're hearing properly, then the sound will enter the heart and cleanse it. Krishna in the form of transcendental sound will cleanse it. And the good thing, shape of that in a margin. And the next verse also, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, Vijim Bhagavata Seva, by serving the person Bhagavata, or by hearing the book Bhagavata, serving the book Bhagavata. All that is troublesome to the heart, the same word of Abhadrani, Master Kriyeshu, Abhadreshu, Abhadrani. All that is troublesome, all that is disturbing, becomes destroyed. Almost at that state. So when Prahlad prays that in his person pacified, Vajra, that means he's praying that all the Vajra, all the disturbing things, all the material desires within the heart be removed. And the way they can be removed is by Krishna consciousness, by absorbing the mind in Krishna. And that is the process recommended in the Bhagavad-gita, Manmana Bhagavad-bhakta. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padarabhindaya. To absorb the mind in Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that will cleanse the heart. And that will make us peaceful. And instead of being envious of others and wanting to exploit them and dominate them, we think that they're welfare. We want to help them, encourage them, and push the consciousness. And our process, especially given to us in Kali Yuga by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. But we have to do it in such a way that our minds are absorbed. That there's Prahlad's prayer, that our mind be absorbed in Krishna. So when we chant, we want to hear, we want our mind to be absorbed in the sound of Lord Krishna's holy name. But when we try practically, what do we find? Is our mind peaceful? Is it absorbed in Krishna's holy name? Or is it wandering here and there, thinking of different things, which could come to the point that we consider that all those things that are, all those statements that are just, are in the Bhagavad Gita to describe demons, Ambhogi, I'm the enjoyer. But when we analyze our thoughts, even when we're chanting, supposed to be chanting and hearing, we find that underlying it are these principles that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. You know, we're chanting, we think, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. But what does that mean? You think you're the controller. I have to control all these things. I can't hear Krishna's name, I have to control all these things. And why do we want to control them? I mean, there could be more benign expressions of the desire to control for Krishna's service, but the tendency is we want to control them for our sense gratification. We want to control these people in a certain way so my life is more pleasant. We want to make arrangements in a certain way so my life is more pleasant. So, this demonic tendency that we talk about in Rani Kashyapu, that's fair enough. As well. As God with Brother Ravindasaru Prabhu sometimes quotes, you've seen the enemy and it is up. We're the enemy. It's not out there. We're the enemy. It's our own bad propensity. That's the problem. It's not out there. It's right inside here. So we have to work hard. We have to endeavor to chant and hear with attention, with feeling. Whenever the mind wanders, we have to bring it back. Lord Krishna's holy name. And that is a very difficult job. And in fact, it is a hopeless endeavor. On our own strength alone, we need help, we need mercy. We need mercy from Krishna. And Prahlada is helping us. We should be praying, but he's leading us in the prayer. In the earlier verse, text 8, he prays to Lord Yashunadeva in the heart, that please destroy my demon-like desires. Just like you destroyed Hiranyakashipu, please destroy my demon like the relic within my heart. You know, please sit on the throne of my heart and kill my bad propensity. So we do both. We make our own effort and we pray for mercy. And when the Lord sees that we're making an effort, He's inclined to give us mercy. We can't just sit back and do nothing and pray for mercy. We have to make an effort. But at the same time that we're making the effort, we understand that by our effort alone, we cannot be successful. We need the Lord's mercy to be successful. And when the Lord sees our genuine, sincere, prayerless effort, He will be merciful. You mentioned Mother Yashoda. She couldn't bind Krishna with all the ropes in Vraja. But when Krishna saw her tireless effort to bind him, he felt compassion for her and he allowed himself to be bound. That the two fingers, that the ropes were always too short, or Acharya explained, the two fingers, that gap of two fingers can be covered, one by our endeavor, our labor, parishram, and two, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. That those two elements can cover that distance and make our effort successful by Krishna's grace. So in the purport, Śrīla Viṣṇuṇātha Chakravarti Thakura, as quoted by Śrīla Prabhupāda, explained that whenever a devotee offers a prayer to the Lord, he asks for some benediction. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. This is a prayer, and implicit in the prayer is a request for a benediction. But a devotee will not ask for a benediction like Hiranyakashipu asked, let me become immortal so I can conquer the universe and make everyone my servant. He will ask for a benediction related to devotional service. And that is not wrong. He doesn't ask for something for sense gratitude, he'll ask for something for Krishna consciousness, for his own Krishna consciousness, for the Krishna consciousness of others. And we find the example, Ayananda Tamija Chintaram, Achitamandhishamevalambhuta. Now this is very significant verse of Sri Shastra. Ayananda Tamija Chintaram, I am your eternal servant. We are Krishna's servants. Specifically Krishna, the son of Nanda. And Nanda Tanuja is a very intimate term. Ja means to be born. Aja, unborn. And Tanu means body. So Nanda Tanuja, like he's born from the body of Nanda Maharaj. A very intimate Shinkaram. Kashita Man Vishame Bhavan Bhutar, but somehow or other I've fallen into this terrible ocean of birth and death. Bhava means to exist or to come into being and to cease to exist. And Vishani, Prabhupada translates it as terrible or horrible. But Vishani is poison. But this material existence is like an ocean of poison. And within this ocean are all these ferocious aquatics, like sharks that are ready to devour us. And they are compared to lust, greed, anger. These are
ready to devour us finish us. And then there are these waves in the ocean, tumultuous waves that are our false hopes and anxiety, those tossing us around. And then there's strong winds, gales, strong winds. And those are the bad, those are bad associations. It's already bad enough, and then on top of everything else, we have bad associations with the strong winds. And then we're drowning in the ocean, and every once in a while, even in the tumultuous waves of the ocean, there might be a little piece of seaweed or a little piece of wood or something. So you might think, oh, there's a little piece of wood, let me grab onto that. Hey, there's seaweed, let me grab onto that. And those are compared to the processes of karma, jnana, astanga yoga. So they can't save us. The only thing that can save us is mercy. Sabha-kripaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the one who uttered these verses in Shastra. And by your mercy, please pick me up from this horrible ocean of birth and death and place me in one of the atoms at your royal feet. Mercy. Actually, the word duty, we know it actually means dust. Padaguni, dust as it looks. Praise to be a particle of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna, or an atom. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says such a thoughtful comment that this indicates that we're all part and parcel of Krishna. And so this, someone might say, well, is it proper for a devotee, someone who's taken shelter of the holy name, to discuss about the miseries of material existence? It should be no half of the death. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to discuss the miseries of material existence. And it's not wrong to pay for mercy. To be reestablished in one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Those are things that devotees do. And that should be our move when we chant it. That the holy name is Krishna. We want to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. Would you want to reestablish our relationship with the holy name? Krishna as the holy name. And so our chanting is, it's a personal reciprocation with the holy name. And if our mind wanders and all these anarchists come up as they're prone to, we just pray for mercy, please. You save me. I think I'm God, I think I'm the controller, the enjoyer. You save me from these anarchists. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, is please engage me in your service. Please accept me as your eternal servant. Please consider me as an atom at your lotus feet, or the particle of dust at your lotus feet. And then the other verse from Shastra, Mama Janmi Janmanishri Bhavata Bhaktura Haikiki Kari. Again, the word Haikiki, causeless, without any motive for any gain of any sort.
pure devotional service is Anyavilasitasanyam Jnana Karmadharmadhyam. Anyavilasitasanyam without any ulterior motive. Jnana Karmadharmadhyam is not covered by karma or jnana. So in this verse of the Shikshastaka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundari Kavitam. Janam means wealth. Janam means followers. Sundari, beautiful woman, beautiful wife. And Kavitam can mean beautiful poetry or the flowery words of the Vedas. Sometimes this is also divided, like the sometimes the sundari is placed with kavitam, like beautiful poetry, music, type of heavenly enjoyment. Many people think like you get like that you can realize God through music. And they're like very attached. They experience God through hearing the symphony of Beethoven. So, so sundari comes in beautiful poetry or the flowery words of the Vedas. And that way, if sundari goes with kavitam, then women, and beautiful wife, children, relatives, friends, that goes in general. And all of those are achieved by highest material activity, karma, in other words. So when he says, nadanam, nadanam, nasundari, kavitam, it means he doesn't want anything that can be achieved by karma. And mama janmani, janmanishwari, he wants birth after birth to be engaged in pure devotional service. That means he's not asking for liberation, which is usually the goal of jnana. He's not praying for the results of karma or jnana, but he's just asking for pure devotional service. Well, that's pure devotion. That's what we should be praying for. But Prahlad, he's not asking just for himself. He's praying for all living entities. And it's the same principle that we pray, but it's not enough just to pray, we also have to work. So it's not enough to sit back and pray, please deliver all the living entities in the universe. Meanwhile, I'm going to keep myself busy eating and sleeping. Or even chanting for my own personal benefit. We also have to work for that. That's the combination. And we find later in Prahlad's prayers from Srimadeva in the seventh canto that Prayanamunaya, that almost all saintly persons are just interested in their own liberation. But Prahlad says, I'm not like them. I don't have to worry about my liberation because, he says, in Indirecta, he's already liberated because whenever he likes, he can absorb himself in the nectarian glories of the Lord's holy name and qualities and pastimes and feel transcendental bliss. So for himself, he has no anxiety, not so shame. For myself, I have no anxiety. But I do have one anxiety, I do have one concern, and that is for all the people who are suffering in the material world without Krishna consciousness and concerns for them. And therefore, I'm always making plans how to engage them in devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj is one of our acharyas, Mahajan, of the 12 Mahajan. So he shows the example. He's thinking how to deliver the fallen souls, how to induce the fallen souls to take to Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, he's praying to his worshipable deity, for the Srivadeva, to be merciful to them and deliver them. Because he knows that on his own, he can't deliver them, and on their own, they can't deliver themselves. But to preach, we need the Lord's mercy, and to practice Krishna consciousness, we need the Lord's mercy. We need the Lord's mercy at every stage. But at the same time, we have to make our own efforts. Now, in conclusion, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur raises the point, well, what if Prahlad Maharaj's prayer is accepted? What if his desire is accepted and everyone becomes Krishna conscious? And they'll all leave the material universe. What will happen to the material universe? When we were at the Arya Kumbh Mela with Srila Prabhupada, those of you saw the DVD on Saturday night, saw the Arya Kumbh Mela. So on occasion, it was a very rare occasion, we usually were so busy we had no time, but on some rare occasion I was in Srila Prabhupada's tent. And just like he would in other places, he would have darshan, he would meet people, like from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. So one afternoon I happened to be there. And this man came in and said to Prabhupada, you know, what if everyone becomes a devotee? How will the world go on? And Prabhupada asked me to answer. He's present. Anyway, I don't know what I said, but I was really attentive to what Prabhupada said after I made my attempt to answer. And Prabhupada said, it's like asking, what if everyone becomes rich? Who will be the chauffeur? It's like, everyone's trying to be rich. You can't use the argument, well, what if everyone becomes rich? You know, who's going to be the chauffeur for the rich man? And then he said, the problem is not what if too many people become Krishna conscious. The problem is that not enough people are Krishna conscious. So do you think that's really going to become a problem if too many people become Krishna conscious? That's not the problem. The problem is not enough people are Krishna conscious. Once one of our god sisters, Janva, Devi Dasi, in this mood of thinking of the welfare of every living entity, asked Srila Prabhupada that when we chant, should we think of the welfare of all living entities? And Prabhupada replied, oh, you can think of all living entities? You just think of Lord Chaitanya and he will think of all of them. So we desire the welfare of all living entities, but it's not in our capacity to think of all living entities. Even in a family of four, it's hard to think of the welfare of all four at the same time. So we can't think of all living entities. We think of Lord Chaitanya, and he'll think of all their needs. We can pray to Lord Vishnu today, too. He can think of all their needs. And we pray just to be a little particle of dust in his service, just a little
instrument in every song. By their name. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions or comments? Are we need to join in the evening? What time do we assemble?
6
o'clock. Okay, there's a lot to do between now and then. A lot of work to do, a lot of praying. Okay, thank you very much. Shiva Bhagavan, Nikki, Bhagavan, Maharaj, Shri Gaya, Shiva Prabhupada, Shri Gaya, 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 Shri Gaya,